Accession number 31444, Mr. Fred Gosling, Reel 4. Now, you were going out to the Med with this flotilla. Tell us about
that. No, we was called out the Med because of the Suez. We went out on there to the Suez.
So you went from Portland?
No, from Portsmouth.
All right, so you came from Belfast?
Yeah, we went Belfast to Portland doing the working up trials.
Oh, that's good. Then tell us about the working up
trials. Working up trials, you have, you're doing everything. Gunnery, damage control, repel aircraft, and a lot up there.
Now, what did that involve you in, if you see what I mean?
Well, I'm gunnery and that, on the GDO site and that. But damage control, they'd have, the engine room do damage control and that, so... That's how you got a hole in the ship, you've been hit by so-and-so. And everybody ran around with splinter boxes and hammocks.
What's a splinter box?
Splinter box is like a big square box, metal box, that they could put over the hole and put the timber up to stop it, from the water coming in.
And would you help them with that, or was that what the engine room,
Well, it all depends in what part of ship you are. If you're aft and all that. You could get called out with it.
And did you?
No.
Anything else about the working up trials?
Well, you're going all night and all day. You go on exercise with other ships, with the submarines, with aircraft. I think you do 18 weeks or something. Not 18 weeks. So many weeks on it. And they have to come on board. You get the officers, from Portland, come on board. And they see if you're ready for seeing it, if you're fit enough to go out.
And is that a tough assessment at the end?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot of ships go down Portland and fail it. If you haven't worked up to their standards, isn't it?
And these working up trials, they were out to Portland, were they?
Yeah. All the working up trials are at Portland. Well, you'll see later on in there because I was first staff boat's crew.
So what next then? Then you called out to the Med for the Suez, are you?
We went. We was in Portsmouth,
After the working up.
Yeah, we went back to Portsmouth.
And what were you doing there?
Nothing really. We was alongside. Then all of a sudden, they said, when the Suez was kicking off and that, we punished ship. Put everything on your ship and that. There was every ship down there, carriers, everything going out there. And then we went out. We went out to Malta to pick the rest of our flotilla up.
So this being 56?
Yeah.
Now, how did you feel about this? I mean, that was a prospect of action for a while. What do you think about that?
Well, it was a bit, I think brand skid pants, I think, when I first went out. First time I've seen action like that,
So you were nervous,
Oh, yeah.
Not pretending anything else.
No. Yeah. Anybody said they weren't nervous, I think they would be.
Did it worry you a lot?
But it did really, your mum and all that was going, where are you going and all that? You'd be going, oh, bloody hell, all this.
Now, what was the voyage out like to the Med?
All right.
Or was that just a routine?
Well, it's rough, they say. They always say that when you're going out there, the Bay of Biscay is the roughest place. Well, I've been through it lots of times and it's always been calm. So I must be one of the lucky ones who's gone through the Bay of Biscay without getting drowned.
Now, so where did you go to first?
Malta, we went out to Malta.
Were you based at Malta?
No, we just picked up there the flotilla. Then we went straight out to...
So, is that where you met the other ships in the flotilla?
Yeah, our ones, the Whirlwind, Wakeful and Wizard.
So that's the first time you were all together?
Yeah.
Now, what happened then?
Then we all went straight to the Suez.
Now, what happened when you got to Suez? Where did you go to? Is that Port Said?
Yeah.
Is that where you went to?
Yeah. When we got there, just all the other ships were there, like that. And it just started kicking off then when we got there.
Now, kicking off is not too... What actually happened?
Well, we watched the planes going in first.
Whose planes?
Our planes off the carriers. They was bombing Port Said, the oil place, when we was there.
And what could you see of it?
Oh, you see all the lot. You
describe
was there.
It for us a bit.
Well, you see the explosions and that. Then you see the army going ashore from off the other boats. They was going in. All we was doing just cruised up and down ready for bombardment.
Did you actually do any bombardment?
No. No, that was the old big ships done that.
And was it an impressive sight, all this guy? It's strange to be able to watch something like that.
Well, it's frightening, really, to watch it. You're thinking of who's ashore on it, who's copying it all. Because if you see our jets, when they fly, they're nutters. They skim the sea, everybody thing. Them. But we done time between there and Cyprus.
Now, anything else happened at Port Said? You didn't go into port, or you're just cruising off?
Yeah, we cruised up and down. There was one of our diving ships was in there, and they weren't going to let it out. So they turned around and said to us, you'll have to go and get it out. They give them a deadline for the
get
ship.
Get them out of where?
Port Said. Because Egyptians wouldn't let the boat out.
Is this before or after the
No,
the
while
attacks?
It was on. And what they said, you'll have to go and get it out, Nick. So we had to go over the horizon, get up steam, ready to shoot in. Well, they load everything, rocket launchers. We had rocket launchers going there. What you used to fire at, you put a rocket, it fire up there and shoot the guns at it. So they even lowered that down so we could fire at the shore. But lucky enough, as we was coming in, they let it come out. But they were sinking the ships there in the canal all the way through it.
Now, anything else while you were off port side?
No.
Didn't get ashore at all, obviously.
No.
Now, then you said you went to Cyprus. What was that about?
Well, you had to do Suez and Cyprus between them. You know, so many months of Suez, so many Cyprus. So and that was like, because you had the Eoka, weren't they, fighting?
So how long were you at port side for?
Well, about 2 or 3 months, you know. Like, we had to do so long there to get your medal neck. And so long at the other place. But went to Cyprus and that, because Eoka.
Tell me about the situation, as far as you knew it, about Eoka.
Well, they were like the old terrace there. We used to go, we went there to Limassol and that, Famagusta, because you had Akatiri there, didn't we, the rough place. But it was the Turks fighting each other, I think.
Were you aware of the details of the situation, or?
Oh yeah, they told you. Yeah, my brother was over there, but I went ashore to see him in Limassol.
Tell me about that. What was that visit like?
Oh,
it was
great. Well, I didn't know he was there. It was only like the pod you come on board, and said I've just met your brother ashore, and he went up and see the skipper to see if I could go ashore, and they let me ashore. You know, you had to go ashore with the old 303 strapped to your wrist, and I thought this is good. They're going to shoot them in. But they used to go ashore, play football and all that. And used to go patrolling around there with the Lanchester, around the football pitch and it. There was one time we went, used to let the army come on board, and so many matlows just go ashore. And then there was the old paratrooper lost in Trudos Mountains. And we was lucky enough to go up there to look for him. You know, like the blokes who went ashore and that. They had the camp up there. What's the camp called? There's an army camp there just outside Limassol. We was in there. They used to go in there. Then we was going up in the lorries up into the Trudos Mountains. But lucky enough, they found him before we went up there.
And what was it like being ashore in an army camp?
Well, they should take the mic. They used to laugh at us. It was good though. You said go out with your 303 and that. They only give you one clip of bullets.
And tell me about, what was a patrol like?
Well, you'd walk round, if there was sports day, you walk round the pitch. That was your Lanchester and that. And they said, if anybody fires you, fire back. That was it. Well, the Lanchester was like a scatter gun, wasn't it?
Tell us about the Lanchester, because it's a sort of submachine gun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like a little gun, isn't it? But if you banged it on the floor, the safety clip used to come off and it'd start firing.
So it's like a Sten?
Yeah.
How different from a Sten is it? I mean, was it just a Sten, or a naval Sten, or was it different? Or do you not know?
I think it's different. No, the safety clip was just like a spring thing. You just push it up. If you banged it, the clip come off and it start firing itself.
What did you think of the Lanchester as a weapon then?
Oh, it was a scatter gun. You used to fire it and it's just a wander. Wander away to its right. You'll be firing it and just go, you follow the gun because it'll take it yourself. Yeah.
To the left, you just did. Do you mean right?
To the right. Yeah, sorry.
So go that way.
Yeah, as you fired, it just got not that. That's why they called it the scatter gun.
What about its range, effective range?
No, not very far. Very, very close range.
Wouldn't you have been better off with a rifle then?
No, they went in the scatter gun to make them run fast.
So, I mean, you're doing a bit of patrolling. What were conditions like in the army camp as compared to a navy? I mean, was it better or worse?
Oh, better. They had everything there. They was doing well, were they?
Better than you?
Yeah, of course I say.
In what way?
Well, they weren't rolling about all the time, weren't they? They were sitting company because when I was in Cyprus and that, we used to have to go, like, after the boats out there, you know, fishing boats, to see if they were smuggling arms and that.
Tell us about that. So, were you boarding crew?
Yeah, your boarding party and all. If you were duty watch.
Did you do it?
Yeah.
What was a boarding? Tell us about, what would a boarding party be? What would it consist of?
Well, you'll have about four or five blokes with an officer. You used to go up to the, like, used to go and leave your ship and go and sit and wait. And the ship used to radio you that they'd picked up a boat coming towards you and all that. But you could see for miles because the sea was flat and the moon shining, you could see for miles. But it used to be...
And these are fishing vessels?
Yeah.
And so how would you get to it?
Well, you was in the motorboat. You was out already in the motorboat.
Was this a launch like you'd been on? Or?
No, it's a small one off the ship.
Just the ship's motorboat?
Yeah.
And what happened? Tell us about searching of it.
Well, every time we've done it, we're the same ship every night. we used to come back with fish.
So how big a search would you do? Because you know.
Oh, you go through the lot, all through the ship, the fish, everything. You have to look for everything in it, under ropes, anywhere you think they'll hide guns in it.
And did you ever find anything?
No, it was the same boat every time, wasn't it? They said, enjoy your coming alongside.
Any other duties while you're off Cyprus, off Limassol?
No, that was it, I think.
How'd you get on with the Greeks and the Turks? It would be Greek. Is it Greeks there?
Well, they wouldn't let you go ashore by yourself.
You didn't visit just that time when you went to see your brother?
Yeah, otherwise you had to sail on the ship.
Now, what about the ship you were on? Was it a happy ship, the Torquay?
Oh, yeah.
What made a happy ship?
Well, the blokes and that, you know, like your messmates.
So it's not the officers or anything like that?
No, just your messmates and that.
And did you have any particular pals?
Oh, quite a few of them on the Torquay, yeah, lots of blokes.
What was, do you remember much about them?
Well, like you're going ashore, mates, weren't they? If you was going ashore for a drink and that, they'd be the ones.
I thought you couldn't get ashore, though, there.
Oh, no, well, not there. When you go to other places. No, they were your best mates. Your best boys.
What about, you'd be on rum ration by then, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah, and rum.
Can you tell us the whole background, the whole thing about rum, because of how it's issued and all the... There's lots of tradition about the rum rations.
Well, rum, you've got a rum bosun in your mess. They're called the rum bosun. He goes and picks them out, the rum up. What they do, it's two and one. Two parts water, two and so much part of rum. What they do, they mix it up in a big barrel. And then when you go along there, they say what mess you are, how many drinkers you've got, and they measure it out in copper thing, me and that measure, and pour it in, they call it a rum fanny. It's a big... fanny thing they call it a rum fanny, and then you bring it down to your mess, then they measure it out to your half pint glass in it, then you have to tick your name off and that's your rum. But if you got neaters, if you could get ashore in it and get neaters, if you come back if you missed your rum ration, you used to get neaters, you know, what the petty officers used to get, and that was better.
Why was it just
because it was neat and bloody strong as anything.
Would drinking a rum ration affect you at all?
On your birthday, you just go round the mess. They call it sippers and gulpers.
Can you explain sippers and gulpers?
Well, sippers, if you do somebody a favour, they say, come round for sippers. So you can have a sip of his rum. But if you do a big favour, you say, have gulpers. Well, you take a good gulp.
But I understand if you have a load of gulpers, you get drunk or sippers.
Oh, yeah.
But what if you just had your rum ration? Would that affect you? Would that make you drunk at all?
No. No, you got used to it, isn't it? Yeah.
So it's only if you had a few?
Yeah.
Well, did some people try and keep the rum, or was it...
If it was neat, you couldn't do it. But if it was 2-1, it was no good. It'd just go flat. But neat rum, you could bottle that if you had the chance.
Now, what about... How did you do things like... What about the heads and the laundry and the washing facilities on the ship? What were they like?
Well, the laundry, you usually have foreign crew there. On their so heads and that, if you was part of a ship, one of your dukes could be heads, captain of the heads and that.
So what do the captain of the heads do?
Well, he has to clean all the toilets, everything, sinks, the lot, keep the whole place clean and it.
And what were the heads like? Were they individual?
Yeah, they're in cubicles.
And did they have an individual flush, or was it that business with a channel with water flushing down?
Oh, no, they had individual ones, eh?
And were they still the half doors?
Yeah, oh yeah, the metal doors on it, yeah. So you just walk along and see whose feet were sticking out.
And what about the showers?
Showers, that was all...
Was it showers, or was it bath?
Yeah, showers. That you was mixed with the stokers, seamen and the stokers were mixed. Because it used to be a fight who'd got in there first and do the washing.
And who were... And was there enough water? Sometimes there's a shortage of water on ships.
Yeah, but you made your own water while you were at sea, didn't you? Fresh water net.
Evaporation.
Yeah.
So there was enough?
Yeah, oh yeah, plenty of water net.
And what about, so the Chinese laundry crew, they'd do your laundry?
They'd do all the laundry in it.
So anything else about your time on her? What do you remember? Anything else? Any things that happened on? Because you were on her quite a while, weren't you?
Yeah. Well, your mind, when you get old, your old mind goes a little bit.
No, you're doing fine, don't worry.
I can't remember much more of that, don't they?
So, what about going ashore in a place like Malta? Did you get the chance on the talk?
Oh, yeah, Malta.
What was it like going ashore in Malta? Because everyone talks about, is it the gut and things
like
that?
Oh, yeah.
What was it like?
Malta was great.
Why?
And the gut, well, it's the pubs in it, and the gut. It was like a street goes downhill. It's very, very close together they are. But it's all part, everyone's a pub. In there, and you go down, and there's certain women down here do certain things for you, and all that.
And what are the pubs like? I mean, are they like English pubs, or are they?
Yeah, near enough like English pubs, but the doors are like the old cowboy doors, back doors. You just kick them open and all that, and the swing doors on it, not glass fronted doors on it.
And were they good bars? I mean, what was it like down there? Did you get yourself drunk or what?
Oh, yeah, you get drunk all the time down there. They said, look, I don't think anybody got mugged down there. If he was drunk and that, they'd help you back to the ship and that.
What about the shore patrol? Were much sign of them?
They wouldn't go down the gut. They stayed away from the gut, they did.
Did you ever have to do shore patrol duty?
Yes, oh, yeah.
So tell me about, what would a typical shore patrol round at Malta be like?
You go with their shore patrol. There's a shore patrol there, proper regulating branch people. And what you do, you go ashore to help them out.
So you just support, really?
Yeah. And if there's trouble, they send you in first. They always done it.
Was there any trouble?
No, not really. You had a little skirmish and that, but it's only like the beer talking most of it.
Where do you go then? So you're in the med. Sewage doesn't last that long, does it?
No, no.
So what then?
Then we come back home, innit?
Anything about that?
No, not really. We just paid off when we got back, innit?
Now, you were on her from May 56 to February 58, if that, I think. And then you went to HMS Excellent again.
That's it, yeah, for the twos course.
Now, tell me about that course. Should we do it for today? What do you remember about that course?
Well, what it is, when you at first you're GL3, then you go for a twos course.
Now, was this again a gun layer's armour?
Yeah.
They
changed it over then from a gun layer to gun layer's armour, two.
So the first one was just gun layer, was it?
Yeah, gun layer with a star.
So the first course was just gun layer?
Yeah, gun layer.
And the second one?
The second one is a gun layer's armour. with two stars. You had the cross barrels and two stars and the GA underneath it.
Now, what's new about it?
Well, that one is more to what you're doing, you know, as a gun layer. You know, like you go down different factories and that, and they show you different things and that.
Now, what guns were you introduced to? What do you remember? I mean, how big?
Only 4.5s.
Now, tell me about 4.5 drill then. Mm-hmm. What were you learning on the...
Well, you're learning, like, the elevation and all that, and the training.
And did they have an actual gun, or was it a mock-up of the turret, or what was it?
Oh, they had actual guns here at Whale Island. But they weren't far, you know, because you're on the land base.
So you didn't have to go down to the pier? To Portsmouth?
No. The only one there was when you used to go to Tipner and all that, you know, the firing range. That was rifles, brain guns and hand grenades.
So you were doing weapons training as well?
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about that.
Well, weapons, you have to strip a brain gun down, then put it all back to pieces, make sure it's working. Grenades, you have to prime grenades and throw them.
And what about, what do you think of the brain gun?
The brain gun is an accurate gun, very nice.
A lot of people say, well, why was it so good?
I don't know. I think they just say, like, if you was on the range, you'd be firing, then they go, you've got a gas blockage. Then you've got to stop, take the barrel off, turn the gassing, put the barrel back on and carry on firing. But they were accurate for the range in it.
And what about...
I don't know why.
Any other weapons? What?
We had Lanchesters.
So more on that.
Yeah.
We've done that, really.
Yeah.
What about hand grenades? You said...
Hand grenades,
tell
yeah.
me about that, because the army get nervous of hand grenades. How
well, what you do, you have to prime your grenade. You take the bottom off. And you've got a little detonator, what you put in the bottom. Turn up, you've got so many second fuse. All depends what fuse body. Then you have to, like, he takes you down by the marshes. Now, like, you've got a big butt there, and you're in the ditch, but you've got to throw the grenade over it. And he says, oh, you have to hold the grenade up on your chest, put your finger through the pin, and when he says pull, you pull it and hold it down by your side. Then when he says throw, then you have to throw it.
Now, you used a round arm action,
yeah.
Like cricket
yeah.
bowling.
But the thing was, when I first done it, I pulled the pin, had it down by my side, and I was going, he must be saying throw it. He's got to say throw it. I went, sod it, and I threw it. So he went, what do you do that for? I said, in case it went off. Now, I didn't think about letting go of the clip, you know, because you've got a clip in there. Until you let that clip go, it's safe. And I went, sod this, I'm holding it with no pin in it. And I threw it. And he said to me, he said, right, he said, now get up and point where it's gone. I went, it's over there. He went, point. As I stood up, it went. All the mud and shit come all over the place. He said, there, he said, that a teacher, wasn't he? Yeah, that's how they've done it.
Any other weapons?
No, that was
bayonets?
No. Oh, bayonets, you had them all the time, bayonets. But then they never showed you jabbing and nothing like that.
So, just Bren gun,
yeah.
Lanchester. What about the Lee Enfield? Is there any more work on that?
No, we never had them. Then.
So that now so
well see at Whaley you've done mostly like guards, ceremonial guards and all that.
But tell me about ceremonial guard duty then.
Oh yeah, you have to go and parade down to Portsmouth, you know, the old memorial, march through Portsmouth and all that, sloping arm, do raw salutes and all that.
And what about doing your buffing up your kit for that? Was that a special job to get ready for a ceremony?
Oh, yeah, you had to do your own white gate as a white belt. Polish all your brass up and that. But then if it rained, all the whites come on your uniform. And you just go, oh, no. Now they're blanco, wouldn't it, then?
Can you explain what blanco is? Cause
blanco's a block, a white block of, like a chalk, if you look at it, or emulsion. And when you used to do, you used to get your, like, a little scrubbing brush, dip it in and put it on your hat. You used to put it on your hat sometimes, before the plastic ones come out. You used to blanco your hat. And when it rained, it used to drip down your face.
And would it have to be dried, or would it just...
No, it dries itself. If it was wet, you know, you wet it, put it on, then let it dry. Then it just dried like white. You used to do your shoes in it, tropical shoes and all.
Now, did you do things like... have a tiddly uniform? Because in the old days, you used to have a your own uniform. Tell us about that one. I mean, did you do adaptions? And they used to make them more flared and all sorts of things. Did you do any of that?
Naval tailor, for sure. Used to pay him so much your money and it.
What would he give you? He'd make
you a suit. You know, they call it a tiddly suit. Want rough serge? It was nice material.
Did everyone have that done?
Oh yeah. Just go show everybody had a naval tailor.
And how much better was it?
Oh, miles, because the old material was, you know, it wasn't serge.
Were you allowed to wear it on duty, or was it just something you'd wear off duty?
No, you could wear it on duty if you pay for it, mate. Because they used to give you a kit upkeep allowance, and they'd give you one suit, then after that you bought your own stuff.
So you never got another kit issue?
No. White fronts you had to buy, or collars you had to buy them. We used to buy the naval tailor ones because it was nice blue.
What was it like when you went home on leave? Do you know what I mean? Because you've been in the Navy, you've been in 4 or 5 years by this time.
Yeah.
What was it like? I mean, would you wear a uniform on leave?
Yeah, you had to wear a uniform. Unless you were in the Traff Club or Aggie West and you had a locker. You could put your civvies in there, but you couldn't have them on board.
So what about when you went home? I mean, what did your mum think, you know, when you... I mean, what did your friends think when you went back to it? Was it Edmonton still there?
Yeah, they used to laugh at you, I think. But they're right good. You're dressed up.
So they didn't admire you?
They were just like, look at him, man. But
did it ever cause trouble? Because you're a bit of a target. I mean, that's why they stopped doing it. I mean, you know.
No, it was all right. Get plenty of drinks. Everybody's going, come have a drink, do any fight for your country, and all that. It was good.
Now, what about the armourer side? Because it's a gunslinger's armourer's course. Tell me a bit more about the armourer's training. Well,
on there, it's the same thing. Enough, like, you got, what they're called, CRBFDs. They're close range blind fire directors. See, there's only two of you in there. You're the layer, and you've got the officer who watches the range.
Now, what is a close range blind fire director?
He controls the guns. It's like it's a rent. If you see
they're known as CRBFDs.
Yeah, CRBFDs, close range blindfire. They're like on pedestals, a round thing on pedestals, and you've got a little radar on the front. If you see the Belfast, you see them on the Belfast. But they got them, and all it is, you sit in a stabilised seat. The aim sits in a stabilised seat. And when you look for your gun sight, you got a red spot and a circle. Well, the red spot is what you put on the aircraft, and the circle is your aim off. That's your barrel. So when you're firing, if your dot's on the plane, you're firing the circle. By the time that shell gets them, he's reached that circle.
Now, are these anti-aircraft directly?
Yeah.
And how difficult or easy was it? Do you see what I mean?
Oh, they're easy because you've got a joystick. It's a joystick, you're up and down, you sit there with it like that. You're looking through your binoculars, and you spot in your circle. It's a red spot, red circle. And you've got your joystick, and just where you move it, you spot and that goes, and the circle follows it.
So it wasn't that difficult, it's just something you had to learn to do.
Oh, yeah.
Now,
that doesn't
sound like an armourer job, that sounds more. What about armourer, the armourer side?
That was only like you was like a. You looked after the shells.
Now, how'd you look after shells?
Well, like in the when you go down where the shells are stacked, the mat, you go down and make sure the temperature's right, or you put the fuses on. Now, like when you got the shells coming with no fuses on them, so you take out the plug and put the fuses on them.
Now, was there much training involved in that, or was it pretty simple?
No, it's pretty simple, really.